Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. Over the weekend in Antrim County, Trump supporters gathered to repeat their often disproved claims that the former president won the 2020 election. Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow and others, whipped up the crowd, urging people to demand an audit of last year's vote and to reinstate Trump. These echoed calls from Republicans in Arizona and all around the country as they repeat another debunked Trump conspiracy theory, as you can hear the former president voicing this spring at Mar-a-Lago, that election fraud was widespread last fall.
Let's see what they find. I wouldn't be surprised if they found thousands and thousands and thousands of votes. So we're going to watch that very closely. And after that, you'll watch Pennsylvania and you'll watch Georgia and you're going to watch Michigan and Wisconsin and...
Meanwhile, the Michigan legislature continues its work this week on a set of bills designed to reinforce that same sense of insecurity around the state's election process. This package of bills, 39 in all, are sponsored by Republicans, and they've now moved from the House to the Senate. They'd alter a range of things, from when you can drop your absentee ballot in a drop box to new requirements for a state ID card to vote. Senate Minority Leader Jim Ananick, Democrat from Flint, represents Michigan's 27th District, and he joins us now. Jim Ananick, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So we've talked in the past couple of weeks to several people about what this package of bills would do. How would you characterize the depth of the changes that they would make if these bills pass altogether?
Yeah, they're pretty extreme, and they're very dramatic. And, you know, unfortunately, the intent is sort of the continuation of the big lie from last year that led to the insurrection that now they're using as a catalyst to get people that, you know, largely were followers of QAnon and things like that, that are already resentful towards the government, to sort of feed off that ignorance, to feed off that fear, and to try to dramatically change the rules of how we vote. And in the process, you know, limiting our actual democratic right to vote, to participate in our democracy. It's very scary stuff, and people should be very concerned.
Can the minority stop the Republican majority from passing these bills?
We can stop them when it reaches the governor's office, and I think if the public becomes more aware and really starts to flood people's offices, flood their senator and their reps' offices with calls about how bad this is, maybe some of them will start to think that this isn't in their best interest. But, the governor will veto these bills if they make it to her desk. But we still have a lot to do to make sure that the public understands about how really bad these are.
I want to ask a little bit more about what happens if it does come to the governor's veto. But just to give it the broader context for a minute, we have seen Democrats, most notably in Texas, walk out to prevent a quorum needed to vote on election bills. Is there anything that you'd be willing to talk about doing, that kind of strategy to try to combat these bills?
Yeah, unfortunately, our rules are a little different. We don't show up, or if we left, they still have quorum and they could just pass it. A strategy we can use here, we're going to have to educate people both through social media, interviews like this, speeches on the floor, and try to convince our colleagues that, you know, what side of history do you want to be on? Do you want to be on the side of promoting and protecting the democracy, protecting the Constitution? Or do you want to be a part of a, you know, it's a fringe conspiracy theory that limits people's right to vote because, you know, people were angry they lost the election? I mean, really, what it comes down to is, you know, we present our ideas to people, and if they like our ideas, they vote for us. If they don't, they vote for someone else. They no longer are presenting functioning ideas about how our democracy should work, about how our government should work. So they want to change the rules to limit who's voting. And I think that's really just, it's really an un-American, you know, authoritarian type mindset. You know, we don't like what the voters are doing, so we're just going to tell them we know better and just stop them from voting. It's really scary stuff.
Right. Now, the governor has said, like you mentioned, she does intend to veto these bills if they make it to her desk. If that happens, we know that the Michigan Republican Party plans to launch a ballot campaign to try to get voters to say yes. If they're able to do that, Michigan's laws would allow for the state House and the Senate to pass the proposals in such a way that they would be veto-proof, not subject to the governor's signature. If that ends up being the case, how long do you think our state could be dealing with this?
Well, I think we'll be dealing for a long time because, you know, a number of the things that are, you know, presented in those 39 bills are clearly unconstitutional. You know, they go against the very foundation of our system. So, you know, we'll be in court without question. And really what they're trying to do is a lot of their base solely solely beholden to Trump. They don't like the rest of these guys. So a lot of them are trying to feed into that because he was portraying, and still is portraying, the big lie about the election outcome. So they're trying to play into their fears, play into their emotions, and hope that that will make them come out and vote for them. You know, who knows if that's going to work or not, but we're going to fight tooth and nail to make sure our democracy is still here. It's that serious, and I hope people are taking it that serious.
Have your Republican colleagues said anything to you about why they want to pass these bills or why they think that changes to the election system are necessary?
Well, you get a combination. You get some true believers that just don't want to accept fact that, you know, that the election was fair, the most secure election in our history, and that just, you know, the crazy ideas that ramble around in their heads just aren't popular with the voters. And then you get some that are just afraid. They're afraid of their base. They're afraid to tell the truth. And they go along, right? And, you know, I think hopefully when the time comes to show where they're at, because this will be a historical vote, right? When this comes up for a vote, history will be watching. Do you stand with democracy or do you stand with the folks that, you know, tried to assassinate Vice President Pence? And because it's really just a continuation of January 6th. And to say anything otherwise is just, it's just a bold-faced lie.
Jim, there are some things that political leadership put forward because they feel it's important to their base and it's fundamental to the ideals of a party. And there are certain things that they put forward for the base in a different way. I'm thinking of some of the defense of marriage bills that were put forward in decades past to sort of whip up a conservative vote and maybe peel off some people who didn't necessarily identify as rank and file Republicans, but who would be motivated to come out and vote based on this issue. I'm trying to think about these voting bills in that framework. And I'm wondering, you know, that we've seen that Trump supporters, either who do identify as Republicans or who identify very strongly as Trump Republicans, have been highly motivated by this. Is there any kind of analog within Democratic circles? Like, how does this issue read with people who maybe aren't, you know, hardcore Democratic primary voters who you need to be communicating with right now?
Well, that's the really good thing. As cynical as people can get and as much as we're seeing information 24/7 now with the internet, there's still a solid majority of people that care about this country, that are patriots, that believe in the Constitution, that believe in democracy, that the folks that want to strip away democracy and some of these really radical ideas that are being coming out of some of the Republicans across the country, they're just not popular because Americans, I think, at heart are inspirational. They believe in this country. They believe in the values that founded our country. And they are patriotic. And instead of being disillusioned, angry, bitter people. So I think if they get informed about what's going on, we'll have a strong majority that will send a signal next year. But we still have to make sure that we stop this first.
Jim, do you think we're moving toward a three-party system?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. I think the question that the Republicans have to ask themselves, are they willing to stand up for Republican values? Because this is fringe, you know, QAnon, right-wing, authoritarian, you know, white supremacy type groups that are taking over. Are they going to fight to hold it, or are they going to go along? And then really it could just be two parties, but it just won't be Republican Party anymore. It'll be the Democrats and whatever these folks are going to be called. I don't know. I really don't. I'm focused right now on just helping to do my part to save democracy. And, you know, hopefully some Republicans will join us in that.
What is your sense? You mentioned the fact that we have had some demographic change in some places in Michigan that have traditionally been Republican. How much of that do you think is people moving in from out of state who are Democratic? And how much do you think it is traditional Michigan Republican voters who might be willing to vote blue in future years?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're at a sea change right now. We're at a crossroads. A lot of suburban voters who at one time, you know, because of taxes or whatever reason, might have been more likely to join Republican parties are now coming out in large numbers for Democrats because, you know, they weren't Republicans because they were racist. They weren't Republicans because they hated government. They were Republicans because they wanted lower taxes. And you just don't see those Republicans anymore. So I think, you know, we're starting to see a sea change. You know, we're starting to see some lower income, you know, working class voters that are fleeing, that are going away from us, you know, sort of joining some of this Trumpism. and we're getting some more of the college-educated suburban voters. I'm obviously still trying to bring back the working-class voters because I think our party is much more attuned with their economic value, and hopefully we can hold on to the suburban voters. But it's an unusual time run right now.
Jim, for the non-engaged voter who isn't really partisan in either direction but still shows up for the polls every 2 years, why should they be paying attention to these proposed Republican rules on how we vote in Michigan?
I think some of the real scary parts they should be really concerned about is they want to allow for partisan folks to take over the process of monitoring elections. They want to push it away from professionals. They want to be able to record your vote. They want to be able to record the counting of the vote. But think about that, someone recording while you're voting. I mean, one of the most sacred things we have is the privacy of the ballot box. And to take that away, that just is fundamentally un-American, right? I mean, we are the beacon of freedom for a reason. And to go away from that to more like third world type country is a big problem. So people should really look into these bills because they're saying it's all about voter ID. And that's just patently untrue. We have a voter ID law now. That's not what they're doing. They're using that because that polls well. The things they're doing, if people found out about them, they would not like them.
Jim Ananick represents the 27th district in Michigan State Senate. He is a Democrat from Flint, and he's also the Senate Minority Leader. Jim, good talking to you.
Thank you.